Well, I often get the pleasure of speaking with songwriters here in this studio, and in this portion of today's Notably Texan, I'm going to be speaking with some writers of a slightly different ilk for the most part. With me this afternoon is the program coordinator for the Writers Guild of Texas, which is a Dallas-based organization dedicated to supporting and informing authors of all ranges and styles. Reiner Bantow is with us, and joining me in the KETR studios is the resident playwright here at A&M Commerce, also the region chair for new plays and playwriting at the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, and founder of the A&M System Advanced Collaborative Theater Project. Man, that's a mouthful. Can't you have an easier titles to get to here? Anyway, Jim Tyler Anderson, he's also a songwriter to boot. Thank you both for coming into the studios today.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
And speaking of Jim's music, if you were listening at the end of last hour, I did play a song that Jim wrote, kind of a tongue-in-cheek tune. Not all of your songs are that zany, if you will, but a great tune that you wrote for the play Ruby Rose Rides Again that Luann Petty, I believe, did in that play, and then she decided to put it on her album as well, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And are you still writing songs these days? Or?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do. It's quick. You don't have to spend months and months to do it.
Yeah.
And it's usually collaborative for me because I only know about four chords on the guitar.
Okay, gotcha. So you're more into the lyrical side of it then, and
that's
you like
correct.
To hand it off to somebody and let them figure out the music.
That's correct.
That's very cool. Well, Reiner, before we go on, that's kind of an unusual name, especially if you see it spelled, because everybody wants to assume that it's Reiner, of course, but
kind of
an unusual name. Can you explain that? What's your origin?
I'm a Swiss-born German that grew up in East Texas.
Well, that's what I was going to assume. You know, I think most of us were going to just...
Look at me. I mean...
that's very fascinating. So, I mean, did you you grew up here in the States then?
I did. My parents moved to the States when I was six.
Okay.
Back in 1970-something. I grew up in East Texas, lived in Marshall, Texas all my life. And,
okay.
Spent about 10 years working on my four-year college degree in Texas A&M University, which was East Texas State at the time.
Right. Okay.
Where Jim and I first met.
So. Oh, very interesting. So you two have a past and a history, and you're very familiar with this university then.
Yes.
So it's must be fascinating for you to see the changes that have taken place around
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. They're amazing. Amazing.
We hear that from everybody that comes back, especially if they haven't been here in a little while. Well, Reiner, I believe that you have had some experience with KETR in the past as well, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I worked at KETR. I was a weekend warrior from in the mid-80s to early 90s.
Okay, so wow, we just barely missed each other then, because I got here around 92 or so, or 93-ish.
About the time that I stopped working at KETR.
Yeah, so we were ships in the night there, basically. Very interesting. So this is your first time in our new studios
here,
then.
Yeah, I'm impressed. it's a totally different building, even.
Yes, indeed. We made some big changes several years ago.
What happened to all the vinyl?
Well, you know, believe it or not, we've still got a massive storage of vinyl back there, but just no call for it, per se, these days. You know, when you worked with KETR, we were, of course, located in the Performing Arts mm-hmm. Center, where I used to get to see Jim Tyler Anderson much more frequently, and I definitely missed that. I imagine the recent rains have made for happy waterfowl over there on G Lake.
Oh, yes. The ducks are very pleased.
I bet they are. Well, I definitely miss my old stomping grounds over there in the PAC, as we refer to it, the Performing Arts Center. Well, let's find out a little bit more about the Writers Guild of Texas, because this is something that a lot of people are probably not even aware exists. But Reiner, when and where was the guild formed? If you know all this information, I'm going to throw you under the bus a little bit here.
Writers Guild of Texas was founded around 2006. It initially met in Plano, and then in its 2007, 2008, moved to Richardson, and we've been meeting in the Richardson Public Library in a place called The Basement, which is actually the basement of Richardson Public Library.
Go figure.
Yeah, we've been meeting there every third Monday ever since. So
that's fantastic. And as most organizations do, I assume that the Writers Guild of Texas has a mission that they're setting out to do.
Right. We really want to encourage, empower, and educate writers, fellow writers, whether they're starting out or if there's somebody like Jim who's been writing for a couple of years at least, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify, because I think sometimes when people hear us talking about writers, there are so many different types of, mm-hmm. of writing and everything. This is not just for novelists. You guys and gals support many styles of writing,
right?
Don't
we cover all genres. It's fiction, nonfiction, poetry, playwrights, screenwriters, you name it. If you can put words on paper, we're there for you.
Wow, this is really interesting. And to become a member, I assume a writer just needs to basically cover his or her membership dues,
correct,
and then they can come to your
correct
meetings,
which
right?
Which is, last time I checked, was $25, so for a year. And we meet monthly on the third Monday of every month. You get that. You get access to the newsletter, the website, different things like that.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, and we're going to give folks more information about where they can go to find out more sure about this, or if they'd like to become a member, we're going to remind folks how to do that. But the monthly meetings are there in the Dallas area. And give me an idea of, what's going to happen, for instance, at the upcoming June 15th meeting.
Well, that's actually a very unique meeting. We're actually having writers that are members of Writers Guild of Texas present their own original material. We've got 9 writers scheduled, and they'll each have about 10 minutes to present a piece of a work that they're in the middle of, that they feel like they're ready to read for the first time publicly.
Wow. So they're basically going to have a couple of minutes to read, read off of their work,
right,
and then the people in the crowd, fellow guild members, are going to be able to kind of anonymously give them feedback,
correct,
right?
Correct. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And we feel like that's a part of becoming a successful writer is being able to pitch your story and being able to get in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
And people oftentimes, when you think about being a writer, you don't initially think of that as
sure
being part of, that's part of the process, is you have to be able to talk to people.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, writers oftentimes are thought of, or maybe are literally like me, kind of usually alone in a mm-hmm dark, damp, closeted area like this in the control room. You know, they're just in there doing their work. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, and I think people think that writers are by nature introverts, which I think we are introverted, but we're also very much extroverts and people.
I would agree with that. And
people.
Yeah. I love organizations like the Texas Writers Guild because, as Matt said, it's sometimes a kind of a lonely profession mm-hmm that we practice. But to get to meet with others and exchange ideas and kind of share our mutual stories and so forth really helps. And it's also a really good way to develop contacts
right
in
oh, yeah
the business. So I really love those kinds of things. Here on campus, we've got the Silver Leos, which is a writers group that's also an alumni group.
Mm.
And I had the opportunity to meet with them just last month. And it's always rewarding to get to be around other writers.
Right. Yeah, it's a very good networking experience, and you build relationships. It's very encouraging. It's hard. I've given a lot of thought to this. It's, I think, being part of a community as a writer is an essential key to that. And I think when we all started out writing, I don't know that that was necessarily part of our thought process.
Sure. Yeah, well, things have definitely evolved and changed, and, you know, with the advent of the internet, yeah, we sound so old when we talk about that. I mean, it is still a relatively new thing that people are able to kind of interconnect in ways
right
that they couldn't,
right,
you know, 30 years ago.
Right, and I think we take a lot of that for granted these days, because, right, we're all plugged in or connected somehow.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no doubt about it. Sometimes too plugged in and connected, I
right
think. Well, if you're just joining us with me on KETR, are Reiner Bantow from the Writers Guild of Texas and Jim Tyler Anderson, playwright from A&M Commerce. And as I'm looking ahead to July's Guild calendar, I see that, Jim, you're going to be the special guest at the upcoming meeting on July 20th. And as we've alluded to, you specialize in writing plays. Is that going to be kind of the topic of your presentation?
Well, in a way, I have an agent, and I'm the only playwright he represents, not because I'm such a great playwright, but because playwrights don't make agents a lot of money.
Okay.
The people who do make the money are romance writers.
Ah.
And so a few years ago, one of his clients asked if I could give him some pointers about how to adapt his work for the stage. This is a millionaire living in England, writing romance novels, and he wants to horn in on my little part.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And so I kind of developed some exercises about how to adapt fiction for the stage. And then recently I have expanded that a little bit in the sense of developing things not only for stage but also for film or television.
Okay, yeah, because that's definitely something that is becoming way more common. I mean, be it film, television, or internet, you know, people are producing things that just go online these days too. So that's pretty fascinating, and I assume that even if an author kind of created some prose without the intent of making it into a play or script, that that you can offer some kind of elemental pointers on how to convert that work.
Yeah, and it'll be very elemental. It's there's a you know, it's a big undertaking.
I would think.
But sometimes what we need is permission to do something. And hopefully that's what I'm giving these authors is, you know, go ahead and try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, write something else.
Yeah. That's fascinating because I think that unless you're in on the ground floor of this, the whole writing process and whatnot, a lot of people don't really think about the evolution that a story might take before it makes it to the stage or film or TV or any of the places that people would kind of consume their stories these days outside of print. And it definitely does take a long journey. You know, typically something is probably not just someone does not sit down necessarily unless it's their occupation to write a, as you know, something that's going to be turned into a play or a television presentation. So this is very interesting, and I think people around this area certainly will take interest in this, and that's going to be coming up. You're the special guest at the July 20th meeting, is that right?
Well, I don't know how special, but I'll be there.
I think you will definitely be a special treat. That's not every day. Not every day that the Writers Guild of Texas members can hear from someone like yourself with experience on turning those pieces of prose into basically a play or something like that. Well, I often refer to some of your original songs here on the show, and you talked about how you're still enjoying writing songs. I mean, is that something that that's a different kind of writing, obviously, too?
Well, yeah, it is. But, you know, when we get an idea, we don't always know what genre it's going to be. I have a little exercise that I do to overcome writer's block where I just sit down, set a timer for 10 minutes, and write nothing but titles.
Really?
You alluded to Ruby Rose Rides Again. That came from that exercise. And what I wrote was Sweetheart of the Rodeo, which I found out later was an album by the Byrds back in the 60s. And so that evolved into a musical play about cowgirls. But in that same exercise, I wrote, there are more jackasses than thoroughbreds. And that evolved into the song that you played a little bit earlier. And so I think we need to keep ourselves open and not define ourselves too rigidly. If we want to write songs, write songs. If we want to write poetry, we can do that. Plays, screenplays, whatever. I think that as writers, we have a great opportunity to explore many, many venues.
No doubt.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think the key to that is giving yourself permission to do that, right? Is one, to write, you have to give yourself permission to be free and write, put down whatever comes to your mind and put that on paper. And then giving yourself permission to be open to different genres of writing and not just kind of pigeonhole yourself into something before your writing ever has a chance to even bloom.
That's exactly right.
If you're just joining us here on KETR, you're hearing the voices of Reiner Bantow from Writers Guild of Texas and Jim Tyler Anderson, a playwright here from A&M Commerce, and a long list of other titles that I don't want to run out of breath going through again, but Jim's an accomplished guy here, suffice it to say. While I got you in here, Jim, are there any, and I know we're going into summertime here right now, but what about upcoming shows here at the main stage?
Oh, we've got a great season planned. Coming up this Thursday and Friday, I believe it is, we're having open auditions for Joe Di Pietro's play Over the River and Through the Woods, which is a romantic family kind of comedy that will be directed by one of our alums, Jim McCoy. And again, those auditions are open to the public. We'd love to have folks come join us.
Cool.
And then that'll be running in the month of July.
Okay, so that's coming up quick.
Sure, then. Yeah. And then we've got a full season. I won't go into all the things that we're doing, but one thing that's kind of interesting is that later in the year, we hope to produce a play in the Spanish language.
Wow.
We like to appeal to as wide an audience as we can, and the Hispanic heritage is a big part of what Texas is.
Certainly.
And so we're looking forward to that.
Wow, and that'll be a first, right?
Well, we've had plays that were partially in other languages.
Okay.
We've had operas and so forth that were in Italian and German and so forth, and this is something that we're venturing into. It's not absolutely new, but it's something that we really want to explore.
Wow. Well, that's some exciting stuff coming up. And is there somewhere that folks can kind of go online to stay on top of the upcoming shows or whatnot? Is there a site that people can go to?
Oh, absolutely. You can go to the university website and click on the theater department, and you can check us out there. If you want some information about ticketing and so forth, you can call 903-5900, which is our box office number.
Don't forget the 886. We left that.
Ah, yes. 903-886-5900. There you go.
And for folks that aren't here on campus, if you don't know our website, it's tamuc.edu. So that's where you can go to find the theater section of the website if you want to kind of get some general information about the goings-on on the main stage and the like here at A&M Commerce. Jim Tyler Anderson from A&M Commerce and Reiner Bantow from the Texas Writers Guild are my guests. And, guys, as a public radio host, I would be remiss if I didn't ask to hear kind of your thoughts about listener-supported radio and why it's worth the financial support of our listeners, because we deal with a lot of different things related to Texas here, as we're kind of proving in this segment. It's not just about the music. I love to bring artists in and talk to them, whether they're unsigned, independent, up-and-coming, unheard of. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a certain calling card to be here on the show. So I don't know if you guys have some personal experiences or thoughts on why a station like KETR is worth supporting, because we don't make you endure advertisements and commercials.
Thank God for that. I would say that notably Texan is reason enough to support the public radio in this area, but also we've got, you guys offer some really unique things like coverage of local sports, and something that particularly is important is that you cover local weather, and I know that at one time a couple of years ago there was a tornado bearing down on us, and it was because KETR was on the air that I knew when to go hide. Mm. And I kind of feel like it saved my life.
Thank you for your thoughts on that, Jim Tyler Anderson.
I don't know where else you would find the diversity that you find on public radio. I remember when I was a young college student, when I first started working, had the opportunity to work at KETR, it just opened my world to different music styles. I think we did on weekends, we did a bluegrass show.
Oh, sure.
A big band, country western swing show. We had oldies in the mornings. We had a Christian radio show on Sunday mornings. I mean, we just covered the whole gamut. And I think that's been the tradition of public radio, and particularly with KETR, that it appeals to a broad audience, and it just opens your mind to new things and a bigger world out there.
You know, I didn't know that I liked jazz until I listened to it on this station.
Really? Wow.
I'm a big fan now.
There you go. And, one of the programs that we bring people on the weekends is A Prairie Home Companion. Oh. Garrison Keillor, of course, is a renowned writer himself and, does...
He's done okay.
Yeah, he might make something of himself one of these years. But, no, I mean, that is a guy, who is extremely versatile in what he does. I mean, he's doing this old-timey radio thing like nobody else can do. I mean, we could put together our own old-timey radio show here at KETR, and it would pale in comparison to what they're doing, because they've got that talent, the sound effects guys, and all the incredible stuff that they do on a
program. And Lake Wobegon. Right?
Oh, yeah. Right, of course.
I read somewhere that as a young writer, he was tasked to cover the final performances of the old Grand Ole Opry.
Really?
And that's where he got the idea to start Prairie Home Companion.
I'll be darned.
Because it had that same kind of cheesy factor of the commercials and
yeah.
and things like that, and the storytelling element as well as the music, and he was inspired by the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow. I did not realize that, but that is something, you know, that Prairie Home Companion is a public radio tradition. You literally can't get that anywhere else. And there are people that, some people just don't get it, you know. Some people tune in there, I don't understand what's going on. They're telling me about the ketchup advisory board and all these hilarious things that they do on there. But I think that's kind of a shining example of what sets public radio apart from the other choices out there. And don't forget that that you as a listener make it all possible when you click donate at KETR.org. And I appreciate you guys opening up about that. As we start to kind of wind things up here, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity in case there are any other topics that we have not touched on, anything about the Writers Guild of Texas or anything you guys have got going on that you wanted to talk about while we've got the opportunity here on the radio.
Sure. We've got a workshop. In addition to monthly meetings that we do two workshops each year,
okay.
one in the spring, one in the fall. At our upcoming fall workshop in November, our guest lecturer will be author Taylor Stevens, and she's a New York Times best-selling author, and she'll be teaching people about doing really a Q&A about everything you wanted to ask about writing and the writing business. And so we look forward to that. We've got great speakers coming up, like Jim, and we've got Scott Bell, who just is a member of our writers group, who just signed contracts on 3 books.
Wow.
And so life is going well for him, and we want to kind of plug into that and,
sure.
and channel some of what's going on, going well for him. So
definitely. And where can people go to keep up with what's happening with the Texas, I beg your pardon, the Writers Guild of Texas?
Just go to the website, writersguildoftexas.org. You can go to that, and it'll give you all the information that you want.
And that also links over to the social networking. I know they're on
Facebook. Yep.
Facebook and Twitter,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we just started a Twitter account recently, so we're tweeting.
There you go. So you can get links to all of that through the website for the Writers Guild of Texas, which is writersguildoftexas.org.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, anything that's going on in your world that we haven't covered that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I've got a play that I'm working on.
Really?
Awesome.
Big shocker.
I've been inspired by the music scene in what's now called Deep Ellum in Dallas.
Really?
And so I'm doing some exploration about that. The early rockabilly years coincided with the space race and with the civil rights movement. And so that's kind of the waters that I'm swimming in right now.
I like it. I'm liking the sound of this. That's definitely right up my alley. So I'll be interested to see where you go with that. So
excellent.
I hope that comes to become something. Well, guys, I cannot thank you both enough for taking some time and stopping by the studios here today. And it's been a blast talking to you. And it's kind of nice to change gears a little bit and talk about something other than, you know, songwriting. So nothing wrong with songwriting, but it's cool to branch out and do something a little bit different here on the show. So I thank you both again for coming in, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.